Well, if you didn't get any of the back outlines, I always bring them with me. And I think there's a new man I saw walk in that I hadn't seen before. Would you like to give him both?
He's a transfer student.
Ah, a transfer in mid-semester, too. Oh, good. I'm glad. No, I don't think we can give him credit for he didn't take the complete course and isn't turning in all the assignments. I got over to my desk this morning in a little better condition than I did yesterday and a little earlier. I found this envelope. On the envelope it says news. Now, we had not studied that in class, but those of you who turn in press releases to the secular press must do it this way. And I never did see any reason why we should take advantage of our friends and do it incorrectly. Little Colorado wind. By putting it in the envelope and labeling it news, then no matter how many other things they get on the desk, instruct the printer as to what size type to use. If it were magazine, came to our magazine, we put all our news in 8 point, and we'd have to write that because we put our articles in 10 point. We put the 10 point on it. Then on the first page, type your name 1/2 inch from the top in the upper left-hand corner. Well, that's the upper left-hand corner. He did it right as he faces him. All right, your name, the Navigators, Glen Airy, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Then this word identification means the identification of your story. In this particular case, they have Christian authors, teachers writing to Navigator trainees. That's the subject matter. You do not, when writing for newspapers, magazines, anything in the line of a news release, you do not write the headlines. That's the editor's exclusive duty. You may get up and take a bow, baby. Then two spaces below, mention if you have an illustration. I don't know how you're going to get one. I don't have a picture with me. But you either say whether you have an illustration or whether you have a mat, I'll stop and show you. There may be some of you who do not know what a mat is. This is a mat. It's much cheaper than to send out pictures and have the pictures lost. And especially if you do speaking, as some of you will go on and be ministers and you speak in different churches, they should have a mat to send to the press. The last thing I did before I left was to send a mat to San Gabriel Union Church, where I expect to speak for 6 weeks. This picture is adequate. It's small, but it's clear. And if it's clear, they can blow it up or cut it down. This happens to be of Merv Rozelle. And also, if you can see it, it's an action picture. There aren't just three men standing there in a row looking madly at the camera. Merv has his hand out as if he were calling somebody, and the other two men with him are laughing. Just the least little bit of action that makes your picture look a little different. Just vary it to some extent. I think that's all we need to know about illustrations.
Excuse me. Is a map, do you make a separate map for each time? Do they return the map or what?
Sometimes they return them, sometimes they do not. But fortunately, maps are fairly inexpensive. You get a good picture and you have, I have about 24 maps made at a time. And sometimes they return them and sometimes they don't. But I haven't lost as much, where if I had to furnish them a good glossy all the time, well, they just don't pay the speakers that much. So that's where your map works in. And then, if you mean it for immediate release, you put down here for immediate release. If you want them to hold, hold. If you have a certain date for the release, the date. But usually it is for immediate release. My little reporter down in Los Angeles, she was up doing the church news, and she made out this, and as far as she knew, they only printed the paper on Thursday. And so she thought, well, she'd save herself time, and she set it up and put for immediate release and turned it in early Monday morning, and they printed the church news in the Monday paper, because she hadn't been aware that they printed twice a week. So do, if you put it in for immediate release, be sure you mean immediate release. That's what they mean. All right, now our article. I'll read it to you. And in this particular case, we have a couple of corrections to make. You realize this was turned in by one of the boys. As part of the Navigator's training program being conducted at Glen Eyrie, Mrs. Dorothy C. Haskin, Christian authoress and ghostwriter, is teaching a class in writing each afternoon after lunch. The lectures in this week-long seminar are designed mainly to enable the trainees to write newsletters and news releases effectively by learning the mechanics involved and to improve their style in writing prose composition. A resident of Hollywood, California, Mrs. Haskin was formerly Miss Dorothy Clark, who in the early 30s was an actress of nationwide fame. After her mother's untimely death by suicide, her mother's untimely death by suicide halted the actress's career in its height. After graduating from BIOLA, Bible Institute of Los Angeles, Mrs. Haskin began her career of writing and has for, they have blank years, been producing outstanding books and articles. During that time, she has had some 20 books and over 2,000 articles published. Outstanding among the books she has written for others is The Life Story of Ex-Gangster and Wiretapper Jim Voss, Why I Quit Syndicated Crime, and the challenging account of the Christian organization known as Oriental Crusades in the book entitled Shall We Forfeit Formosa? Noteworthy books under her own name are fiction stories such as Tomorrow I'll Be Happy and documentaries like The Case Against Narcotics. Her own life story is contained in a book she calls Behind the Scenes in Hollywood. Her most recent book, now being published, is For Girls Only, which discusses from a Christian viewpoint some problems of marriage. In addition to caring for Mr. Haskin and writing books and articles, Mrs. Haskin is editor of Child Evangelism, official organ of the ICEF, International Child Evangelism Fellowship. When asked the reason for her change in vocation, actress to writer, Mrs. Haskin replied, "After my mother committed suicide, my stage life and friends provided nothing to satisfy or give peace to the aching and longing of my heart. Nor could they answer the question I had asked of so many, where is my mother now? While searching for the answer to this question, I found heart peace and true satisfaction through personally trusting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. At the time I received him, I realized that he expected me to serve him. I have found his avenue of service for me in the field of Christian writing." All right, let's say something nice about it. It's complete? Thank you. It's complete. Basically, it's well done. I think there's a couple of things. Of course, there's a couple of mistakes. He's got one of the titles wrong. It's the inside story of narcotics, and that I did for Jim Voss. It's not under my own name. But those, all right. In one sense, I didn't discuss it fully with the boy because I knew he was going to turn it in. But it is a point to be sure when you're reporting to be as accurate as possible. This is how mistakes creep in. He put in here some of the things that he had heard me say in general conversation, and as I say, the case against narcotics, it isn't, it's the inside story of narcotics. Yes, it's complete and it's well written. All right, let me read you the first sentence. As part of the Navigator's training program being conducted at Glen Eyrie, Mrs. Dorothy C. Haskin, Christian author and ghostwriter, is teaching a class in writing each afternoon after lunch. All right, what's your who?
It's hard to say.
Dorothy C. Haskin is your who. He should have started with the name Dorothy C. Haskin, not with as a part of the Navigator's training program being conducted at Glen Eyrie. He's actually not selling Glen Eyrie in this particular article. He's selling Dorothy C. Haskin. Now, I happen to be able to face this thing objectively, even though it's about myself. We've got to face it for what it is. And in the case of a person like myself, you wouldn't start the article, Mrs. Dorothy C. Haskin. You would speak of me as Dorothy C. Haskin, and then later in the article, speak of me as Mrs. Haskin. That's the professional attitude of the age we live in. All right, who, where, then Mrs. Dorothy C. Haskin, Christian authors and ghostwriting, is teaching a class in writing as part of the Navigator's training program being conducted at Glen Eyrie. Now that's going to be long enough for a sentence. So they're going to have to put the when in a separate sentence. Is it interesting to the person who reads it that the fact is that it's after lunch? No. 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 It would be much better for your when sentence to just put a separate sentence that the afternoons are held 12:45, early part of the afternoon. I would say the 12:45, if you were felt there was any chance that anybody would want to come. And I presume that because you're a Christian organization that an outsider would be welcome. And if so, you should include it right there. Then, the lectures in this week-long seminar are designed mainly to enable the trainees to write newsletters and news releases effectively by learning the mechanics involved, and to improve their style in writing prose composition. It's too long there. Your average newspaper reader will only follow you as far as the lectures in this week-long seminar are designed mainly to enable the trainees to write newsletters and news releases effectively by learning the mechanics involved, period. It's true, I hope to teach you more. But you don't have to tell everything, you know. Let me see. A resident of Hollywood, California, unfortunately, is interesting. I say unfortunately because I get weary unto death of Hollywood. But it has your focal point of interest, and you meet your people on their level. I think now this is another thing that's interesting. I talked to the writer this morning and about the why. Well, he said, why did you change your vocation? And then I replied, in sort of rambling, incoherent sentences that I didn't find peace on the stage and that I became a Christian. And I let him formulate it into words, and that's perfectly all right, because sometimes you put a person on the spot when you interview them, and they can't say it the best. And I think he has very well stated what I wanted to say. And so feel free to always improve upon perhaps the rambling answer that you may receive from a person. Yes, dear.
How much license does the writer have to ramble? How far can he go in his improvement?
Well, that's where you have to have judgment, where you can't teach it. It depends, of course, how well you know the person. He did a good job because he'd heard me give my testimony. And he had heard me talk. So he knew, shall I say, the spirit of my heart, and he could say the things as he thought I would. The less you know about a person, the closer you have to stick to what they said, actually, because you don't know the color and the background with it. But you're always, of course, privileged to change it so that they're grammatically correct. It's the case of Mephibosheth, you know, he put his feet under the table, and you can change it always so that it's clearer if he's used an ambiguous word or a word that isn't generally known. You can change that. Stick to the facts. Never change a fact. And just try to make your changing come under the head of clarification. I think that's as near as I can give you for a basic rule. And then with the particular difficulties that you're working under, Shug, you do have to be careful because you don't know. This young boy knew me. And if you're in doubt, don't change it. Yes?
You're not speaking of quotations now, are you?
Well, this was an interview that he had in which I didn't say coherently what I was on head in my heart. Shug is talking about some of these tapes, which is the equivalent of conversation. They have more or less rambled on as they talk. Now, if you're talking about a direct quotation, no, when you quote, and it's been printed before and it's known as a quote, you stick with it as a quote. If you're, you know, quoting from scripture or quoting from the works, the published works of some man, we're talking about the first time we take a sentence out of the mouth and reduce it to writing.
That's what I mean when you interview someone, they get quotations around what they say.
Yes, this is quotations around me, and that's what I'm discussing. Because very often, all right, you'll interview them, and they're talking. It isn't fair, often, to actually quote the exact thing they said. They may have spoken hurriedly and said something that wasn't grammatical. You don't want to do that in print for them. No, this is a quote. And you're going to put their thought into the clearest English you can for them.
I didn't know that was allowed.
Yes.
If you put it in quotation marks.
Yes.
Then you could do a lot of things with it, couldn't
Yes,
you?
And they do a lot of things. And they have done it. All right, we take, for instance, Billy Graham. Have any of you read The Man and His Message, which is sold on the stands, in which they have Billy Graham saying, golly? I feel confident in my heart that the man never uses the word golly. Of course, I have not discussed this with Billy Graham, but I'm confident that he didn't. Because golly is short for God, isn't it? It's a sort of a halfway swearing. And yet in that book, the man has had an interview. Can't think of his name, but he interviewed Billy Graham and wrote him up in McCall's, and then he wrote this. And you can't, you see, the trouble there was the man didn't catch the spirit of Billy Graham because he didn't have enough of his own, of the same spirit within him. And so some of the things turned out to be misquotes. And it is a thing that I have to teach you with care. That's why I said to Shug, she has less privilege than than the young man who wrote about me, because he knew me. But much of the stuff of Billy Graham, they throw quotes around it, and it isn't accurate, because he has the spirit of Christ in them, the reporter doesn't. And so it comes out colored. But that proves the point that it's done all the time. And you want to be careful when you see somebody quoted in the newspaper. It may not be their exact words. Any of you remember any of the other, shall we say, misquotes of Billy Graham? Yes. Yes. You see, when we approach writing from a Christian standpoint, we do it on a higher basis of ethics than your average writer does. And that's why I can tell you such and such a thing is done. It's considered all right, so long as you get the basic thought of the man. But we as Christians want to be very careful that we do have the thought and spirit of the man. Yes, dear.
Legally, do you lay yourself wide open? You have to be careful from a legal standpoint.
All right, legally, you lay yourself wide open only. Only if Billy Graham could prove, but by the man having said that he said, golly, that he had injured irreparably and financially his reputation.
We too then stand in the same shoes. Is that right?
Yes.
Have to be careful.
Yes, we have to be careful. But you have to damage the person's reputation before they have grounds for a suit in which they are asking for money. They have to prove that you damaged them. And, of course, perhaps Billy Graham feels that he was damaged by being made to say, golly. But I don't think he'd ever stand up in court. He could ever stand up in court. The court wouldn't think it was important enough. No. I always check back and forth as much as I can with the person. Yes, sir?
Do you have to have permission to write something about someone?
Anything that happens is a fact. And nobody can copyright a fact. Anything I stand up here and say is not copyrighted. You can all go out and teach the course. It's not copyrighted. Anything that happened, that this Glenn, and actually happens, so long as it doesn't damage the person, you can go out and print it. Then, of course, when you get to the case of it's some scandalous thing has happened, you can't go out and print that, because then it may fall under a suit for slander. But nobody can copyright a fact. Yes, dear.
When different people want to write about the NAS, they ask us for information, we send it to them. We usually ask if they'll please let us check the article before it's printed.
Yes, I like to have anybody I write about check for accuracy, because I find even though I try to be accurate, that mistakes creep in, even when you try to. But nevertheless, I'm teaching you here what is the truth. And now you, when you send information out, and you ask people to let you see it, they don't have to. They don't have to. Face it. So be careful in your own heart and soul to whom you send the information. I wrote at one time an article about the Navigators, which was published in Power. I then went on and wrote another article and asked, I don't know whether I asked Lauren or asked Dawes if I could let the Swedish Baptist people print it, and they said no. So I tore it up, but I didn't have to. I didn't have to. I had my facts. I could have written about it for every magazine in the United States if I had wanted to, but at that time, Dawes said no. So it's a question of knowing what a person can do and what a person will do. When you said yes.
There were some dozen corrections to that McCall
yes.
article, that they sent it to the team for correction, and Billy sent back 12 things, at least 12, that he wanted changed,
mm-hmm.
and not one of the changes was honored.
Is that so? Now that surprises me, because I would think McCall's would have themselves wanted it accurate. The only thing that kind of irritates me when people take it out, when I describe people, and I'm not always perhaps complimentary, I may say that he's pudgy, and then they take it, they'll put a line through it and say, well built. That irritates me, but usually I let it stand and put it in if they want the more complimentary phrasing. I don't think we should make our Christian saints too perfect, and so I sometimes don't do it, but then they don't like it that way.
You remember one of the comments was that Billy said most a number of his best friends drank and gambled and smoked. Do you remember that one?
It wasn't quite like that. Now, you've even quoted it one step further.
Right,
he said that he knew ministers who smoked, and he realized they were as pious as or as religious as he was.
He put them on par. And another
yes.
one was about his wife being suntanned all over.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, that's the type of thing that... it isn't becoming, I mean, that it in print. I just don't, you know, go for it. But as I say, you have to watch these things. You have to know what can be done. But But I just prefer to have it checked. Now, it's a nuisance sometimes to have it checked. People don't check immediately. They make you wait. Sometimes you're trying to hit a deadline. But I'd rather put up with some of the things they cross out, like the pudgy to the well-built, and have them check it and have it accurate. You'll find, too, in this matter of what they'll change, that some people won't change a word. And then other people, they just write all over the sides of your copy. And usually, they want you to put in more material than you had. They do not have a sense of valuation of what is important. And so when I turn an article over to anyone to check, I usually write a little note with them and say that this is all the space I have, and I'm very sorry I can't put in any more. And I had one woman, I told her I couldn't put any more, and she wanted a whole sentence at the end. So she went through carefully and crossed out that number of words. All right. I don't feel, actually, that we're digressing. I think it's important that you know what are some of these basic facts if you're going to deal with your public press, as well as your Christian press. Your Christian press should treat you more Christian-like, but they're still there. Yes, dear?
Is the reputation of the mass, for instance, ever negated by the reputation of the paper that contains an article about it?
Well, I have to say that there's two schools of thought on that. Personally, I think they are. And yet there are people who say, well, your message gets that much wider. But there are some certain denominations of which I have been prayed very much before God and felt that they were the leaven of the Pharisees and that I couldn't write for them. People think that the editor stands back of everything he prints. It's not always true. Robert Walker says he reports the news in religious circles and that he doesn't stand back of everything he prints. But most people think he does. And so if your NAS organization gets into too liberal a paper, it's going to color some people's thinking that you're a liberal. Or you wouldn't be. A man is known by the company he keeps. It's a matter of prayer and of walking softly. The one thing at least about the secular press, like in McCall's, it has no religious color. While some of our other religious publications do have color. And I'm just really being very gentle because you're all into denominational and I might just pick your pet denomination. But certain denominations stand for certain things, don't they? And if the NAVs are in there, you'll think, well, they must agree with them. Or let's turn it around and say that some organization of which you know very little. Christian Endeavor, perhaps? No, you're all good Presbyterians. Most of you. Some organization that you don't know much about, and then it's in a liberal paper, well, you're right then and there, you're going to think in your mind, well, they must be liberal, they're in such and such a paper. You have to walk softly, unless you take the overall attitude that, well, the more they know about me, the more apt they are to come to me, and therefore then I can help them. It's like going to a liberal church, same situation. You go to a liberal church thinking that, well, you can help them, that they need the testimony, but there's going to be a certain number of people who think, that's the church she goes to. She must be liberal. You face it, don't you, in picking your churches. Anything else along this matter of quotations and interviews and what people print about us? All right. Back to this matter of the lead. The who, what, when, and where business, I think we understand in this class, is our lead, and then we amplify our points, as he did in this article about myself, saying that I was here teaching, and then he amplified who I was. He could also have amplified and had a paragraph about Glenn Airy. I presume you think your local papers know, but it would have been. You put your core in your first paragraph, then amplify. Amplify first whom? Follow your same rule. Amplify about who, about where, about when, and finally, why. All right. A quote lead. A quote lead. "These greens are awful," Van Hogen told his new Scottish friends. "It's like putting on glue. I've got a lawnmower back in Texas. I'll send it over to you." Sometimes you start your article with a quote from the person. When you start your article with a quote, do as they did in this case. Start with the quote, "These greens are awful," said Ben Hogan. Not "Ben Hogan said." The general rule is the quote first, unless it's Eisenhower or Churchill or someone who really is well known. Then after you've got your quote for your attention, your second paragraph has your who, what, when, where, and why. You put your quote first, then your facts. Your quote lead is good when you're having a speaker at a church. Will you be sending out news releases this summer about all your speakers? No, most of them. All right. Write them like mad and tell them to either give their talks a title or give you the privilege of giving their talks a title. And then start, use your quote lead. Give me a title, huh? "The Whys of the Christian Life" will be the subject of Dr. L.M. Smith at the Navigators Conference this summer. And in most cases, because most of your speakers aren't used to giving titles to their talk, ask them to give you the essence of what they're going to talk about, and then you give them a title. When I give my life test and my life story, most of you heard it the other night, I call it "Inside Hollywood." How much did I talk about Hollywood? A few opening paragraphs and away I go. But people are interested in Inside Hollywood. When I talk to women's groups, I always call my talk, no matter what I'm going to talk on, "For Wives Only." And just pray, ask the Lord to give you a terse, interesting title. And then if any of your speakers have, by the grace of God, said something that's clever, said it in a, well, you know, I mean, cleverly worded, use it for a quote lead. If you want to take perhaps some statement that Dawes has made, and then think it over and reword it until you have worded it the most clever way you can. And then ask him, as I do my boss, "Wouldn't you like to say it like this?" And they'll look at it and say, "Huh? Yeah, that's all right." But that's your purpose of your quote lead, to interest people in your speakers. Then your action lead. Time magazine uses the action lead a great deal of the time. The action lead contains your basic W's, except that it puts it into a sentence with life in it. A sentence with sort of a little story, with a little narration. It isn't just as flat. Let's take this one. The first one, all right, Dorothy C. Haskin, Christian authoress and ghostwriter, is teaching a class in writing at Glenary. That's your fact, isn't it? Readable writing is your first consideration, says Dorothy C. Haskin, who was teaching at Glenary. would be your quote lead. Then your action lead would be loaded with her portable brain, Dorothy C. Haskin waddled up to the grand plan. You give it a little life, a little boom. It's a fine lead to use for outings. Six girls fell down the ski incline. You don't have a ski incline around here. All right. Four fellows went shooting at the cattle range, is that? Skeet shooting. Huh? Skeet shooting. Yes. Pop, pop, pop went the guns at the skeet shooting trap. For that type of a lead, you use your action lead, and then after you've had your action sentence, what's next? Who, what, when, where, whatever you didn't get in your action lead, check them, be sure they're there, that you finish them in. All right, what is new? What is news?
Things that happen.
All right, things that happen. When?
Now.
Now or tomorrow. Not what happened yesterday. The minute I get on that plane for Los Angeles, I am of no news value whatsoever to Colorado. Nothing is deader on the 28th of December than Christmas. Nobody is looking forward to Christmas or interested in Christmas. Christmas is the trickiest news we as Christians have to handle, because often we do our big things at Christmas and it dies so quick. You find your church papers full of Christmas items in January when they interest nobody. If you write for a big newspaper, I don't know if your Colorado Springs newspaper has it or not, but I certainly would ask them for a style sheet. If you write regularly and the paper's large enough to have a style sheet, you should. And Betty, dear, you're going to see the time when you're going to have to do a style sheet for the navigators, too, for all your missionaries. Why? Because, and nothing I love better than to tell a group of high school students, but it's true, spelling and grammar is arbitrary. Yes. Much of it. How do you spell Savior? S-A-V-I-O-U-R, S-A-V-I-O-R. You make up your mind which form of the word you're going to use.
Oh, goody.
Yes, oh, goody. But it's true of a great many words in the English language. There is no one fixed way to spell. It's true. Color. C-O-L-O-R. C-O-L-O-U-R. Do you, when and where do you capitalize the word gospel? We could spend the rest of the class debating when to capitalize the word gospel. Your dictionaries capitalize it one time only. When? What gospel?
Like the Gospel of John.
Yes. From a dictionary standpoint, that's the only time you capitalize gospel. However, in our fundamental circles, it has become good usage to capitalize gospel when you're speaking of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I have to admit, it was when time capitalized the gospel that I decided, well, maybe we were right, and I started capitalizing it in Child Evangelism magazine. Before that, we capitalized it part of the time and not all the time, which is, of course, wrong. But there's many S here.
What about when you use the word scripture?
There's the same thing. It depends what circle you travel in. Whether you really think it's the Holy Scripture, the Word of God, then you capitalize it. But if you're speaking of these scriptures and in your heart and soul you think the Vedas are just as good, you don't capitalize it. There are many subtle ways in which we show what we believe. However, if you're going to write regularly for a secular publication, you should do what they do. That's just politeness, isn't it? Because if you don't, they're just going to change it every time, and after they've changed it a half a dozen times, they're going to get irritated and they're not going to like you. So watch it. Ask them for a style sheet if they're big enough paper to have one. And if they're not, look at your paper and notice the changes they make in your article. And then be courteous enough to comply with it as long as you're going to them asking them to print your news. Your average length so that they'll print it. They're doing pretty good by you here. Do you think they'll print this long an article as I had to?
Yeah,
that was...
Betty?
About 2 thirds, I think.
Huh?
I think they might have those 2/3 out.
I always teach 100 words. What happened to me? I had nothing but the envelope. What happened to me? Paper. Anyway, I teach that you turn in 100 words if you want everything you write printed. If you don't mind them cutting it, then of course, what do you put at the first part of a news article? The most important. The most important. And if your news article is well written, they could cut from the bottom. As far as the newspaper is concerned, that article about me was well written. They just assumed cut off why I switched from being an actress to a writer. That's the least important. Then the second least important was the things that I've written. And they could cut it all and just leave the top paragraph that said I was teaching out here, and they'd still have all their news, wouldn't they? But I suggest, as I say, 100 words if you really want it printed. Then all of you who do any speaking at all should have a news release like this. This is the one for V.S. Anderson that we give out all the time, any place he goes. We figured out a title for his talk, Through You to Them, that he could talk about anything he wanted to. And the title would work. And this says that Through You to Them will be the subject of a talk full of know-how given by the Reverend V.F. Anderson. He will speak at the, and then there's a blank, and underneath the blank we have the word place, so they'll know what the word blank is for address, on, and a blank for date and time. And then the Reverend V.F. Anderson is Deputation Secretary for the International Child Evangelism Fellowship. ICEF is an interdenominational organization serving an auxiliary of the church. And then we go on and tell about Mr. Anderson's life. He's an ordained Baptist minister and holds a degree of Master of Theology. He served as pastor and evangelist for 20 years. And then he went to the British Isles, Europe, Africa. You should have something like this that you can send any church. Many have racked. So if they're on the ball, they'll get it in the paper. This is the press release of R.G. LaTurner. This is Arnold Brunigan's press release. This is Jim Voss's press release. Bob Richards, the athlete, his press release. I did show pictures. This is the proper way to label a picture that is to be sent out. Not actually on the back, because by labeling it on the back or writing on the back, if you type or if you write too heavy, you may ruin the picture so that it will never make a good cut. This is the correct way. You see, you paste it on the back and then write it so that it can be turned up and read. Would you like to keep this, Irene, and return it to me later? Perhaps you can label one that way and then show it to the others. Some people have special stationery for their news releases. If you turn them out every month, these I just show you out of curiosity, that's the Moody Bible Institute. This is the Mr. Texas news release, your American Council of Churches. If you have a form and you're sending them out all the time, you see, then that saves you from typing your name, your address, your identification, your immediate release, and your stuff of that type. Here's our Child Evangelism news release, and here's the Bible Institute. Sort of similar. I wonder if some could have worked for the same. Bob Jones news release, the London Crusade news release. I don't think I need to go over any of this mechanics of copy, do I? Begin your, catch down there to point six. Begin your story one third of the way down. Never write on more than one story on one sheet of paper. Never write more than one story on one sheet of paper. Earlier today, someone asked me in speaking about news releases, when they had a lot of news, should they put it all into the news release? And I said no. But I think this is your answer if you want to send out more than one story. Make it a separate news release. Use one side of the sheet. If your story must be continued, write more. Sorry, I've lost this one. I can't check and see if you did that one. And at the end of the story, write end or 30. Don't ask me what it means. They've done very good research on it, and nobody's ever been able to find out. 30 at the end of your story. They write 30 at the end of their news stories, and somebody started it someday, and everybody else picked it up and thought they must do it. Yes?
I think it's 30 line in printing, isn't it?
I've never been able to trace it down and actually find an answer that I could get up from in front of the class and say, this is it. Don't fasten it with clips and pins and staples, all that stuff. Just is that much more for them to take off, and on your envelope write news. All right. Then, here is something that maybe Betty will want to copy. This is just a small tentative list of the Christian magazines that you send a news release to. Christian Life, Christian Digest, King's Business, Moody Monthly, NEA, Presbyterian Life Alliance Weekly. You want to get that later. Of those, and they're always glad. The Christian magazines are always glad to have you send in your news. I keep this in my file just because it is almost silly. I sent Christian Herald, which has the largest circulation of any magazine in the United States, when I was working for Campus Crusade. I sent them in a news release on Don Mumo. And the editor took the time to dictate a letter and thanked me for it. Christian Herald is a magazine that NAVS you could be safely in, because why? Christian Herald thinks they sit on the fence. How successfully they do it, I guess probably, you know, it's the same old story of the man who during the Civil War didn't want to take sides, and so he wore gray trousers and a blue coat, and the gray shot him in the coat and the blue shot him in the trousers. I think the fundamentalists think that the Christian Herald is a liberal publication, and the liberals think it's a fundamental publication. That's what it amounts to, but they still have the largest circulation. Another thing in giving things to the newspapers, be conscious of the fact that there's a matter of timing. And don't be disappointed if you don't always have your copy printed. More churches turn in news at Easter season than any other season in the world. You know why more Easter than New Year's? Passover. So even the Jews are in on Easter. They all turn in their news at Easter. Then Christmas is your second most popular. The Jews don't turn in any Christmas news. But. And as a consequence, because of the fact that they do turn it in, you will find that you won't, you may not get your copy at that time. But they'll be delighted with the unusual. Now, I don't have time to teach this lesson on the house organ, but would you pass it around and perhaps turn off your mic for a minute while we turn these out? I won't have time to teach this lesson this week on the house organ, but I do want to discuss it. Some of you may work for house organs, and some of you may someday head up your own. Who was it last night at supper? Crossbow. Francis. Crossbow. Didn't you? Wasn't it you who told me you had a serviceman's thing over the Philippine Islands? Yes. Well, this would be the lesson on that, and it might have helped you boys if you had just had the outline. All those who come from Bob Jones can just become humble for a minute. This is the Bob Jones Fellowship News. This is a house organ. Is it inviting? No. I don't know if the one who said no came from Bob Jones or not, but if you did, you still would have to say no. And I don't really see any valid excuse for Bob Jones not doing an inviting job. I think they're just not conscious of it. They haven't thought it through. Of course, now in contrast, we have another, Oh yes, this is the Navigator's Log, another organization. But isn't it inviting? Doesn't it invite your eye? By the Yes?
Pardon me, but the house organ part, would you explain just what that is? I'm sure I'm the only one that don't understand.
But that's all right. I mean, a house organ is a publication, whether it's 4 pages like this or 32 pages, as is Child Evangelism. It is still a house organ, as long as it seeks to tell only the news of that organization or that house. Many secular companies have house organs, painting companies. It's a organ that is distributed basically for the employees and then the employees' families. You see, your navigator, your nav log goes out to tell only one story, navigators. The minute you tell another story, you've taken valuable space away from your own problems. Christian Life, Moody Monthly. Moody Monthly, on the other hand, it started out as a house organ. It is no longer a house organ because it tries to cover the entire Christian field. In fact, they ask you not to slant your article towards Moody because they know it narrows them. King's Business is sort of a hybrid. They do, yes, they sell King's Business, Biola News, largely, but they have enough otherwise in it to try and get some general readers. But Child Evangelism doesn't really aim for anyone outside of the fellowship directors and the fellowship teachers and the fellowship hostesses. So that's a house organ.
You said just news. Does that mean no teaching or? You said just news of the organization.
No, I didn't mean, I meant news in that sense, in that which relates to the organization. We have a lesson that you can teach children in the middle of our magazine every month. It's the things which are of value to this, to either the navigators or the friends of the navigators. It just sells the Navigators, or it just sells child evangelists, and that's what a house organ is. And your little servicemen deal would have been a house organ in the sense that you were only selling Christ to servicemen, and you were relating it to them, weren't you?
It was directly to the men that we worked among.
Yes. You see, that was what made it a house organ. It was directed, shall we say, to that house of men, using the word house in that sort of sense, as you say, company. But that's what they call them, a house organ. All right. I have mentioned here, just to pop along, and if any of you think of any questions, as I say, I'm not going to try to teach you. I have mentioned sizes. I've mentioned these two sizes so that they'll fit into an envelope. Don't go for the odd size that doesn't fit in an envelope that you print. Be at least 8-point, 2-point lettered.
7-point lettered.
Well, it's a spacing between lines and between words. You see, you can go and have something done in 8-point, and they can cram it so tight that they can't read it, even though it's in 8-point. And the 2-point lettered, you say that, and you take this into the printer someday when you have it, and you say, well, this is what they said I want, and he'll know what you mean anyway. Your story, your title, I don't think anybody outside of the Navigators and the Willis Shank should have a paper called The Log. The word log has really been done to death in our Christian circles, and I still maintain it's all right for the Navigators because it ties in. There's nothing original with the Fellowship News. Some of you go back to Bob Jones next year and get on the staff. I'm just sure that for Bob Jones, the most unusual university could have had a more unusual name. May we embarrass you by asking you what you called your paper?
We had a real meeting over that. That was a really fun thing. We called it
You called it what?
The Good News. We thought of the gospel, but then we said, no, we called it Good News.
Uh-huh. I feel that the Good News is a little used too often. Our own magazine, Child Evangelism, we have staff conference about once every 2 months and talk about changing the name, and we never can think of anything that fits us better, but we don't think it's much of a name. Do you remember Christian Life when it started in? Christian Life and Time. And then they dropped it, though they never had dropped the Times idea. But it was too long and involved a name. This matter of naming either a house organ or a baby is not to be done overnight. I mean, some of the names they stick people with, don't you know? The same thing is true of your name, your format. All right? Your front page, your news. Your news, your news. I don't think they do it here. Anyway, not your editorials on your front page. Why? Can't you give...
I'm interested in this.
Yes. And then, too, think it through. You never think of going into a church and the minute you sit down, the man does his sermon. Why, therefore, when you get into print, do you put your sermon down first? For that's what it amounts to. Your second most important page is, of course, your back page. Why?
You want to open the paper.
Yes, you've got just a 50-50 chance of turning to one or the other when you pick it up or lay it down. So... that which you're steering straight rightly belongs right here. I presume it's important to you as a Christian organization. Whatever you want the person especially to do, such as this would be an excellent place to discuss coming conferences, or you want. They snickered because you want people to come to the conferences. On your readability, they read first this one, that one, then your third page. And this is the page that people read last or don't read at all. So you want to be very sure it's an interesting page. Don't we have a picture story on one page here? Yes. Now why? Figure it out. It's just logical. You've opened it like this. That's the next place you're going to see. You're not going to look over there unless it's of interest. So that's where we put our story on Korea. Well, I'm going to finish this. I guess there's nothing else. You just chase through the statement of identity, please. I do think in my file I have the navigator's log as something that identifies you. You would be surprised the Christian organizations that put out a house organ and you cannot tell who they are. What's that girls' organization that is just younger than Young Life? Pioneer Girls. I have copies of their papers and you can't tell who put them out. You haven't the slightest idea, and yet it's an organization with you would consider enough know-how to put their name and address on their organization. But that's the one I use. I use them for a horrible example because I feel they shouldn't know better, just as I do with the Bob Jones. All right, tomorrow we'll do a little basic work on style and testimonies.